Welcome to the Warren County Radio Bible School. When you hear that school bell, get your Bible. We're going to be studying in just a moment from that great old book. This is lesson 565 of the Warren County Radio Bible School. And today we're going to have our special feature when we read to you out of the Rockcliff Review. This is the church bulletin for the Church of Christ at Rockcliff. Most of the time, these lessons are associated with a sermon I preached. And though this lesson was not associated with a sermon I preached at Rockcliff, it was a part of a lesson that I was invited to preach when I was in Lubbock, Texas. And so I thought that would make a good article for our bulletin. The title of this is The Glorious Colossian Hope. Let me read it to you. Paul wrote a letter to the young church at Colossae because they were in danger of being led away from Christ by enticing words, by philosophy and vain deceit, by the traditions of men, the rudiments of the world, meat, drink, and holy day, the Sabbath days, voluntary humility, the worship of angels, ordinances, the commandments and doctrines of men, by a show of wisdom and will worship and neglecting of the body. Colossians 2, verses 4, 8, 16, 18, 20, 22, and 23. To counter this, Paul taught them that they were perfect in Christ Jesus, complete in Him, that Christ is all, and that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Colossians 1, 28. Colossians 2 and verse 10. Colossians 3 and verse 11. And Colossians 4 and verse 12. It is in this context that Paul admonished them, "Be not moved from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven." Colossians 1, 23. This Colossian hope of the gospel was not a hope for things of this earth. Paul wrote to them of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel which is coming to you, as it is unto all the world. Colossians 1, verses 5 and 6. Human philosophies tend to focus on things of the flesh and things of the earth. Paul wrote to the Colossian saints saying, "Set your affections on things above, and not on things of the earth." Colossians 3 and verse 2. Renewed earth advocates turn our affections back to things of the earth. But the Holy Spirit of God told us what He meant by things above. In the previous verse, He had Paul write, "If ye then being risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God." Colossians 3 and verse 1. Christ sits at the right hand of God in heaven. Therefore, things above are things in heaven. They are spiritual things, eternal things, glorious things. In Colossians 1 and verse 27, Paul called the Colossian hope the hope of glory. He further said, "When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye appear with Him in glory." Colossians 3 and verse 4. In view of this glory, Paul was laboring, striving, working, preaching, warning, and teaching every man in order that he might present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Colossians 2, verses 28 through 29. Some of the saints had passed into eternity, and were already enjoying something of this glory. Paul called them in Colossians 1 and verse 12, the saints in light. It was Paul's prayer that the Colossians would be filled with a knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that they would walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, Colossians 1:9-12. Paul assured the lowliest among them, even those who were in bondage as slaves to their earthly masters, that this was their glorious inheritance. Colossians 3:22-24 says, servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever ye do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance. For ye serve the Lord Christ, Colossians 3:22-24. To this day, men are trying to draw our hopes away from heavenly things to earthly things. Well, just the other day, I heard a preacher say that we should not be talking about trying to live for heaven or trying to live to avoid hell, but that we should give our attention to trying to live with each other on earth. He said this as though these two ways to live were incompatible. His idea of living with each other on earth was a philosophy of inclusion and acceptance of each other as we are, regardless of what we are, and without preaching such things as repentance and the remission of sins. Such is a human philosophy that turns our hope away from heaven and entices us with things of the earth. Be not moved away from the gospel of salvation by such philosophies. Our affections are to be set on things above. Our hope is to be with the saints in light when we appear before Christ, who sits at the right hand of God in heaven. Well, that was the bulletin article from the Rockcliffe Review for that Sunday. And I read those because the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rockcliffe. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rockcliffe, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And what we do for the class sessions we have, we have this special feature when we read from the Rockcliffe Review, but the rest of the time we usually spend pursuing these old Sunday school lessons that were written by E.A. Elam. And now we've come to a Sunday school lesson that he wrote for the Sunday schools of April the 13th, 1924. It is about Elijah and his struggle with Baal. And the golden text is Matthew 6:24, where it says, no man can serve two masters. And it goes on to say, ye cannot serve God and mammon, and Israel could not serve Jehovah and Baal. And that's what Elijah was teaching them in that contest on Mount Carmel. There is a devotional reading for this Sunday school lesson. It is found in the 15th Psalm. The description of this psalm says, a psalm of David. And the psalm reads like this. Jehovah, who shall sojourn in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness, and speaketh truth in his heart. He that slandereth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his friend, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor. In whose eyes a reprobate is despised, but who honoreth them that fear Jehovah? He that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. He that putteth not out his money to interest, nor taketh reward against the innocent. He that doeth these things shall never be moved. Now with that we're going to turn to Elam's notes. And there's a geographical note about this lesson on Elijah and the contest and struggle he had with the prophets of Baal. This contest took place on a mountain called Mount Carmel. Carmel means the garden land and is one of the most noted mountains of the Bible. been connected with two famous prophets, both Elijah and Elisha. It extended southeast from the Mediterranean about 12 miles into the corner of Samaria as a wall between the famous plain of Esdraelon on the north and the plain of Sharon to the south. The western end was a promontory running almost into the sea. The highest point is about 4 miles from the eastern end, and it is 1,728 feet above the sea. Its sides, we are told, are covered with flowers and shrubs and trees of the most beautiful and fragrant kind. No other mention is made in the Bible of a brook called the Brook Cherith. It flowed into the Jordan. Elijah was commanded to hide himself by this brook. We read about that in 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 1 through 7. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the sojourners of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As Jehovah the God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall be no dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of Jehovah came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, as I have commanded. The ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according to the word of Jehovah. For he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before the Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there was no rain in the land. Another geographical place we read about in this story of Elijah and the prophets of Baal is about the town of Zarephath. It was a town in the land of Zidon. It was brought into notice by being the place where Elijah spent the latter part of the drought mentioned in this lesson, and where he raised to life the widow's son. It is mentioned by Obadiah, but it's also mentioned by Jesus. In Luke chapter 4, verses 24 through 26, Jesus said, Verily I say unto you, no prophet is acceptable in his own country. But of a truth I say unto you, there were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heavens were shut up 3 years and 6 months, when there came a great famine over the land, and unto none of them was Elijah sent, but only to Zarephath in the land of Zidon, to a woman that was a widow. Now let me read this introduction. Since we're studying the history of the kingdom of Israel, we should know its kings down to Ahab. And the last lesson we gave the origin of this kingdom. Jeroboam was its first king and reigned 22 years. He was succeeded by his son Nadab, who reigned 2 years. Baasha, the son of Ahijah, slew Nadab and all the house of Jeroboam and reigned 24 years. He reigned in Tirzah, the second capital. We read about that in 1 Kings 15, verses 21 through 34. Elah, the son of Baasha, succeeded his father and reigned in Tirzah 2 years. Zimri, Eli's servant, slew him and all the house of Baasha. But he reigned only 7 days, according to 1 Kings 6, verses 1 through 5. Israel then made Omri the captain of the army king, and he reigned 12 years and 6 months. He built Samaria and made that the capital of his kingdom. Ahab, Omri's son, succeeded him and reigned 22 years, according to 1 Kings 16, verses 16 through 33. The kingdom down to Ahab had already had 4 different dynasties and had been filled with assassinations and wars and blood. We'll continue this lesson in our next class.